Hello, and again, welcome back to the Labyrinth Library podcast. How you doing? I hope you are well. We all know the big news from last weekend, the Osama bin Laden news, and I figure, you know, it's kind of required for everybody to mention it, even if it has really nothing to do with what we're talking about. I haven't read any Osama bin Laden books. I haven't, don't want to read any Osama bin Laden books or anything about them, but, you know, it happened. He's out. I don't feel much different, and I don't think the world's going to feel too much different either, but it'll make some people feel better, so what are you going to do? Anyway, you know, that's really not within my purview, but I felt I had to say something. So there we go. Anyway, I hope that you enjoyed the most recent episode of Lost in the Stacks. I thought it was an interesting topic, talking about how the writer-reader relationship can become poisoned, and we looked at the strange, sad case of George R.R. Martin. If you want to take a look at it, of course, it's still up there, and you can download it and listen, and I would love to hear your comments and what you think. But I told you last week that after all this serious talk and all these serious things that have been going on, this week we were going to do something silly. We're going to do something ridiculous, something that you might not want to admit to having on your bookshelf, but obviously I have no problem with it. And I gave you the clues, gave you some names, T.J. Hooker and Captain Kirk and Denny Crane and the Big Giant Head, and unfortunately I did not get any correct guesses, which really disappointed me. I thought I had some real science fiction nerds in my audience. I expected better, folks. But the correct answer to all those names is, of course, William Shatner. And the only ridiculous book, ridiculous enough to be ridiculous for William Shatner, is the book Shatner Quake by Jeff Burke. And that's what we're going to look at today. Now, in the introduction to this book, the author states very clearly that he truly admires William Shatner. He states that Shatner is a man who has made a career out of caricaturing himself, remaking himself over and over and over again, without looking back, without shame, and as far as we know, without regrets. He finishes by kindly asking William Shatner not to sue him. I don't think he has too much to worry about, really. This book is a fun, quick read that, while not necessarily painting William Shatner in the best light, it certainly pays homage to his long and his varied career. Now, the story goes as follows. William Shatner is on his way to the very first ShatnerCon, a convention celebrating his life and his works. It's a convention mobbed with fans, devotees who are there to see their idol, whether he caught their hearts as T.J. Hooker or Captain Kirk or the host of Rescue 911. In the new Cathode La Convention Center, tribute can be paid in full to William Shatner, a man who has changed so many lives. Oh, but there are those who do not adore Shatner. They do not like him or even tolerate him. They are the Campbellians, known by the bloody stumps where their right hands used to be, and each one known only as Bruce. They hate William Shatner with a passion that borders on madness, and seeing him dead is not nearly enough for them. They want his entire body of work to never have existed. Their weapon is a fiction bomb, a metaphysical WMD that can erase stories from existence. No one remembers them. No one knows they ever existed. Should the fiction bomb succeed, William Shatner's entire body of work would cease to be, and so, in short order, would he. But what if a fiction bomb should go wrong, you might ask? What if that interface between fiction and reality should be breached, spilling its contents into what we commonly call the real world? Well, in that case, dozens of William Shatners, every character the man played, would emerge into our world with only one thought on their minds. Destroy William Shatner. The book is a very quick read. It's only 83 pages, but it certainly packs in a lot of action, and as works of fan fiction go, it's not too bad. Because that is most assuredly what this book is. It is fanfic. Burke has a very, very basic concept here. Get all of Shatner's characters out to kill him. Simple. Add lots of blood and gore and guts, because that's always fun, and you have some entertaining reading. It's the very, very best kind of fanfic, really. You know it's just a send-up, never intended to be serious. Sit back and enjoy the ride. However, I have to be picky. It does suffer from some fairly serious editing problems, and Mr. Burke would have done well to have hired a good proofreader. There's some very basic grammatical mistakes, dropped plurals, a few sentences that don't make sense. To a regular reader, it might not be important, but to somebody whose bread and butter is the proper use of English, hi, it's kind of glaring. But then my expectations weren't all that high. I went into this expecting a rollicking adventure, and that's what I got. Complaining about the grammar in a book like this is like complaining about the quality of the vegetables in your Big Mac. Still, there are redeeming points to it, above and beyond the weirdness of the whole thing. The beginning of the book does a very good job at setting up a real dreamlike atmosphere. You know, there's a building that covers 100 city blocks and is a parking lot that stretches out as far as the eye can see. Upon reaching the convention center, Shatner finds out he's already late, and he's led through a maze of hallways that result in almost instant disorientation. He has to sign hundreds of photographs for hours on end and ultimately faces off with his own doppelgangers. Burke has reached into the bag of common nightmares and put together a scenario that is both familiar and disarming, which propels you through the rest of the book. After all, if you're struggling to keep up with events, think about how Shatner must be feeling. And it just occurs to me now as I'm reading this that in its way, Shatner Quake is an heir to G.K. Chesterton and The Man Who Was Thursday. Someone's going to really get angry at me for making that comparison, but there we go. And of course, one can't help wonder, but if this is a commentary on that very nature of the actor-fan dynamic, like we talked about in Lost in the Stacks. Who is William Shatner, after all? Depending on who's looking at him, he could be Kirk, or T.J. Hooker, or Denny Crane, or Buck Murdoch, or the guy who saw gremlins on his plane, or the guy trying to sell you cheap airplane tickets. On top of that, Shatner has another character to maintain, and that is Shatner as a public figure, the guy who goes to conventions and book signings and does guest spots on TV shows. Who is the real William Shatner? Who are any of us, really? In this age of online presences, there could be electronic doppelgangers of ourselves all over the internet. The person that your Twitter followers believe is you is not necessarily the same person that the people on your Mad Men / Fic forum know. You present a different face to your Facebook friends than the people you know in your World of Warcraft game, and like Shatner in the story, you ultimately have no control over the different renditions of you that other people see. The good news, of course, is that those different yous are highly unlikely to rise up and try to kill you. Ultimately, this book has no overarching message about the nature of identity in a world where different versions walk around without our knowledge or consent. I don't think that was ever Burke's purpose, to write a treatise on the modern concept of identity, but rather to write a quick bloody thriller about William Shatner. So, it has no real lessons to teach us, other than that if you see a deranged Captain Kirk approaching with a lightsaber, and how that one got in there, I'll never know. A little artistic license for the sake of awesomeness, I think. You run away. You run away very fast. So let me give you a quote from the book. It is from William Shatner, and he says, "I'm a professional. I can deal with anything." And yes, he speaks in ellipses. So that is Shatner Quake by Jeff Burke. It's fun. It's a bit of candy. And you know what? This is sort of what this whole thing is about. We read books. We don't always read great books, you know? We're not always reading the Anna Karenina's, which I haven't read, or The War and Peace, which I gave up on reading, or you know, the stuff that you're supposed to read. We don't always read that. We read what we enjoy. And by gum, I enjoyed this book. I am not ashamed to admit that. So maybe you'll enjoy it too. Who knows? But anyway, that is Shatner Quake, and I hope you liked it. What have we got on the roster for next week? Next week, I thought we would take a look at a more respected author this time. Jeff Burke, for all that he's done, doesn't rank very high in terms of the, you know, sort of respected, loved authors, and I'm sure he would like to be. This is a favorite among the fantasy readers, Neil Gaiman. We're doing a Gaiman book next week, because we haven't done a Gaiman book in a while, and we really should. And this is a sequel to one of his most popular books. So that's the clue I'm giving to you, and I think you can get it if you're a Gaiman fan, and I know how many of you are. And I'm taking a look at my roster of reviews that I have, and I realize I got to kind of get cooking on diversity. I've got tons of Pratchett books and still a few more Stephen King books, and I figured we've overdosed on King, and I don't want to become a Pratchett blog. So I have to work on polishing up some old reviews maybe to get things ready. Right now I'm in the middle of reading, Perdido Street Station by China Mieville. Just to give you kind of a preview of what I'll say about that, it's weird. The first time I read it, I devoured that book. I cruised right through it. The second time, man, it's taken me forever. But I got it on Kindle now. And the reason I got it on Kindle is because now I got the iPad. And the iPad's got Kindle and everything else. So, yeah. Anyway, that's enough filler babble for me. Thank you very much for coming here to listen, and I will see you all next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading.